20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Steve Peretz, and we are down a teammate. You would think that Sarah Kelleher would never miss an opportunity to talk to the Packers, talk to you guys about the Packers, but no, alas, she is not with us today. It's Dusty Evely and I. And Dusty, I mean, we have to make fun of Sarah, right? Because she is not here with us tonight because she is watching the Bachelor finale. Is that right? Is it the Bachelor, not the Bachelorette? I don't even know.
It is the Bachelor. I honestly, man, like I wanna make fun of her a lot for it. And I may later in secret. But if you've noticed, there's a lot of people on sports Twitter that are huge into The Bachelor, and I feel like saying anything would bring more fire down on us than if we didn't say anything. So, I don't know. I support her decisions, I guess. Is that good? I think that's good.
Already starting off by arguing with me. I like it. No. She's selfish and petty. And I would just like to point out to everybody that is listening that Dusty takes time off. Sarah takes time off. But I am here every damn week for all of you. You know, I missed a few weeks here.
It was like 3 weeks ago, I feel like. It was not that long ago.
No, I made it onto that podcast. I wasn't.
Oh, you did. Yeah, I was thinking about that one. You did make it onto that one, kind of. Yeah, with Schneidman. Yeah, you did.
Yes, I did. I did. So I did not miss that one. And I'll be missing it in 2 weeks anyway. But
Sure.
Most of the time I'm here. So we've got, we're going to have a little bit of fun today. We're going to do some NFL free agency predictions since we are roughly about a week away from the, what is it called? The legal tampering period opening up, which is, and I've got quite the dad joke for you. It's quite the oxy dusty for you. You know what I did there?
Yeah. Not gonna laugh for you, Steve. Not gonna laugh for you. You feel good about yourself, do you?
Yeah. Considering I thought about it like 2 days ago. And then I made a note in my phone because I knew I'd forget about it.
You like stopped at a red light. You're just like, nope, too good. Too good.
I have to write it down. So I just wanted to go over basically the timeline of everything that's going on for the next week as far as free agency, franchise tags, all that kind of stuff. So everybody's kind of up to date because the NFL somehow pushed back the deadline for the franchise tag. I don't really understand how they just did that.
And do the NFL, man, they do anything they want.
I guess. So basically now here's the new up-to-date schedule for the next week or so, right up until free agency begins. So we've got Saturday at midnight Eastern Standard Time is a deadline for the players to vote on the proposed CBA. Then we got Monday at midnight is the deadline for applying the franchise tag or the transition tag. Monday at noon is going to be the legal tampering window opening up. And then Wednesday at 4 p.m. is free agency officially opening up. So just so you guys know, so we will record on Tuesday night. So hopefully we'll have some, you know, pretty healthy rumors to discuss and, you know, link, you know, there'll be all sorts of tweets coming out and all sorts of stuff like that. So very exciting stuff coming around. And it also came out today that with all of the Packers signings of from last free agency, there were no compensatory picks for the Packers this year. Not super shocking.
No, but it's a brave new world, man. I mean, that used to be this time of year. That was, everyone was just, it was on pins and needles, man. It was, how many are they going to get? How many of these picks are going to get? It's just, it's a different era, man. I'm all for it.
I mean, looking at it next year, they might be able to pick up one or two, depending on who all leaves and who they all sign, bring in. But overall, it's just, this is when it kind of gets really exciting. And then it leads right into, you know, mock drafts becoming a little bit more accurate because now some teams have filled needs with free agents. So you kind of, everything is becoming a little bit clearer in the off season, and we're kind of moving through the fog of what was the NFL off season and now getting into some of the good stuff. So going to be really fun. But Dusty, what we talked about doing today, just having some fun and going through, well, like roughly 20-ish of the top free agents.
Yeah. We started with 30, and then we whittled it down, and I didn't count the final number. So I guess we could count them now, but I don't really want to because that's bad radio. So yeah, 20-ish. Let's say 20-ish.
So yeah, 20-ish of the top free agencies, and we're going to do some predictions for everybody. So you know how well that works, so everybody can just make fun of us the next week when we're completely wrong on most of this stuff. But this list is an interesting one, at least. I think I got it from Sporting News, but just kind of give us a good overall look at the free agents. But the first name on the list was Dak Prescott, which I didn't really love in general as him being the number one free agent. But whatever, I digress. He's going to be on this list no matter what. So I think he's staying in Dallas. I don't think he's going anywhere. A quarterback that's 26 who's done well in the league, like you don't want to let him go. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. I mean, I think they're stuck. They're stuck in a spot where they kind of have to pay him. I mean, they paid Ezekiel Elliott, which they should not have done. Should not have paid Ezekiel Elliott. But, you know, they've got enough of a core. Like, you can squint and say, okay, they've got enough of a core where your windows in the NFL are a fickle thing. And if they feel like that they have enough of a window now to kind of go for it because they've got kind of the talent around everyone except the quarterback to do that, which I think, again, you can squint and kind of see some of that with, you know, where some of the defense is and where some of the offense is, and say, well, all we need at this point is our quarterback. Well, they kind of have to pay Dak because all they've got is, I mean, there's other free agents we're going to talk about, but their backup right now is Cooper Rush. Like, Cooper Rush is not that dude. And there's not a whole lot of guys with a exactly that have a realistic chance of making it to actual free agency or to the point where Dallas can pay them. So I feel like they're going to pay Dak. They're going to overpay Dak because that's what the market says. And in like a couple years when they don't make the Super Bowl and all these guys start getting expensive and not as good, they're going to have a down period of a few years because they're going to be in salary cap hell. But that's like, that's just the Cowboys being the Cowboys. So it's hard for me to see a scenario where Prescott's not back with the Cowboys. It's not a great move for them for him to be back there, but I also don't feel like they have any other options at this point. All right. So we're going to flip flop back and forth here. So just because, I guess. So Steve, we're going to head on this next one. And number two on this list, we actually have someone you probably would feel a little better at number one if you're not a big fan of Dak, and that would be Chris Jones, the defensive tackle from the Chiefs. So what are you feeling on him?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs have way too many high-priced people on their team right now. I think he's gone. I'm sure they'd love to keep him around because he's a highly talented young defensive tackle, but I feel like he's gone, and to me, one of the most logical places for him to go is going to be Baltimore. I think they just lost Yanda. I think he's a right guard. I'm not sure. Right guard, left guard, one of the two. But so his money's coming off the books. That's about $7 million. And I think we saw off Spotrac that they were going to be sitting at about $37 million of free agency money. And they're also going to be losing Matthew Judon most likely. And so I figure, you know what? If you're losing an edge, great way to bolster that defensive line is grab the best defensive tackle possible and a younger one than Judon at that. So I would say giving him like 16, 17, 18 million seems over 4 or 5 years would be something they could do. And you know, they like to in Baltimore, like to get the really talented defensive player. So to me, it seems like a really good fit.
Yeah, it seems like that. I mean, you said that and I was a little mad that I didn't think of that. They don't have a ton of cap space, but they do have enough to fit him under if they feel like it, and that would fit their identity perfectly. I went a different way. I just look straight at the money, which is kind of what I did with a couple of these guys. So I was looking at using Spotrac and looking at the cap space going into next year and just seeing who's got the most. It's just insane to me. The Bills currently have $168 million in cap space. Now, they don't have a ton of guys signed, but that's a ton of cap space. And they also have a young enough core to where I feel like right now, and especially with right now, and we don't know, we're going to get to him in a little bit, the uncertainty around Tom Brady, they might see an opening a little bit and might want to go for it. Buffalo seems like a team that's really building their identity around or on the running game, which we'll get to a little later, and also the defense. So adding Chris Jones to that Bills defense is absolutely terrifying, and they have the money to do it. So right now I've got Chris Jones heading up to Buffalo.
All right, we'll go with the top wide receiver on the market, 25-year-old playing in Dallas the past couple seasons, Amari Cooper. Dusty, where do you think he's going to go?
I think he's staying in Dallas. I originally thought he was going somewhere else just because of the money. I think the Cowboys find a way, get a little creative. Again, find a way to pay him, and then they're banking on that offensive core of Dak, Cooper, and Zeke putting them in the Super Bowl conversation, for the next, we'll say, 2 to 3 years or something. I don't think that's realistic, but I'm not here to make decisions for the Cowboys. I think it's great if they pay all this money to all these guys and then find themselves strapped for cash down the line. But yeah, I think I originally had him going somewhere else, and the more I thought about it, it was like they're going to find a way to bring him back. And I don't know that it's the smartest decision, but that offense, that's the thing, if you could pay one of those three guys, you pay Dak and Cooper, and then you don't pay Zeke. The fact that they paid Zeke first kind of kills the rest of this stuff, I feel like. But that's, I don't know, that's kind of where they're at. And I feel like the offense without Cooper, they just don't have anyone. Like, Cobb is walking. That would make, I think, Michael Gallup their number one, unless they sign someone else. You know, wide receivers are expensive.
Gallup's a great number two.
I love Gallup. Terrific mm-hmm. number two. But if he's your number one, that offense just simply is not as good. So I feel like he's back in Dallas. What do you think?
I'm also very confused. What's wrong with paying Zeke? He was a Pro Bowler this year.
Yeah, he's buddy, he sure was. Listen, for me, speaking personally, yes. I think the Cowboys should have paid him even more money. Yeah. Pay him more money. I don't know what all this is about.
Yeah, I think Cooper's staying put. I think Jerry Jones is too proud to have given up a first-round draft pick for him and then letting him walk. So I figure between him and Dak, one way or the other, they're going to franchise tag one of them, pay the other, and then figure it all out from there. So
yeah,
I think that's kind of the way that they would go.
Yeah.
So
we'll go. So our next one up then is this one, I think it's easy for me, probably easy for you. Drew Brees, quarterback with the Saints. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm staying in New Orleans. Like, if he's not retiring, that I don't think there's any other place he's going to go.
So we're not getting into we're not getting down to Bridgewater in this conversation. But is there any chance they liked enough what they saw in Bridgewater last year to bring Bridgewater back as their quarterback of the future, or do they just ride or die with Brees right now?
I think they ride it out. I mean, they put a first round tender on Taysom Hill.
Yeah, future Hall of Famer Taysom Hill. That's right, Steve.
Oh, yeah, exactly. The Packers were fools. They're like, oh,
fools, I tell you. Yeah.
I can't see them having those three again. And somebody's going to pay Bridgewater, and I can't believe that they will pay Drew Brees $25 million. They won't pay Bridgewater. I mean, on open market, what do they have him at Spotrac? Like 10 to 15 somewhere in there, probably?
I know earlier, and I haven't looked at it in a little bit, I know that earlier he was asked, they were thinking like 25, which seems too high.
Whoa.
That's too high. Like, I was kind of thinking somewhere between 15 to 20 for Bridgewater.
I mean, I feel like somebody that might move on from one of their quarterbacks, you know, a Tampa Bay or the Chargers, somebody like that, might throw that kind of money, like somewhere in that range of that kind of money to him. So,
yeah.
I think Bridgewater walks, and then yeah, very very simple. I think Drew Brees stays.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there's a case to be made. I think I could make a case with how Bridgewater looked last year that with his age, it makes more sense to pay him. But I also don't know that Bridgewater is that dude for like 16 games that he can do what Brees does. And the Saints are in a position right now where, again, windows are fickle, man. And if the Saints feel like they've got the talent to win now and they've got an elite quarterback for one or two more years, even though he's like in his 40s. Yeah, it's hard for me to see a situation where they go, no, Drew Brees, we do not want you. You go back to San Diego and we want to keep Teddy Bridgewater. So yeah, I'm all in on Brees to the Saints as well. Yeah.
All right. Next aging quarterback, Mr. Tom Brady of the Patriots. let's have all the conspiracy theories start there. Dusty, what you got?
Yeah, so I have him leaving. I've got him going to San Diego. There was a report, ESPN report a few years back about the rift in New England between Belichick, Brady, and I don't know, I'm blanking on the owner's name right now. The guy Kraft. The guy who goes to Florida. You know, you know, Steve,
Mr. Rubintug.
That's right. That's right. You're familiar with his work. So I have a feeling my conspiracy theory is that all those reports were absolutely 100% true. But everyone was like so pissed off that it got out of the building. They're like, you know what? No, we're keeping this core together for like another 3 years just to prove that guy wrong. But now I feel like Brady's at an age. I feel like he feels like. This is his last payday. He wants to play till he's 45. Given what we saw last year, he's clearly not going to play until he's 45. And I feel like the Patriots are smart enough to not pay him, regardless of who they have, to not make a commitment to him and know, okay, the future starts now. We need to figure this out. We don't want to put this on with Brady because we're at the end of the line. So I feel like it's kind of a two-way thing. Brady feels like he has something to prove, and the Patriots feel like they need to start the future right now. So that's where we're at. So I feel like he's going to the Chargers. He's been living in California for a long time. The one I really liked was the Niners. Because if they're not sold on Garoppolo and he was childhood team, but I don't feel like they're doing that. I think with Rivers gone, again, I feel like the Chargers feel like they have a window. I don't feel like they have a window, but I think they think, well, we've got another couple of years. So let's bring in Brady. And it's going to end disastrously, but that's where I'm going with it. Brady to the Chargers. It's going to say San Diego, but it is Los Angeles. Where do you got him, Steve?
I think he's staying. I think egos are going to kind of rule the whole room, and I think Kraft is going to jump over Belichick and just give Tom Brady a blank check for 2 years. I think he's going to be like, what is it going to take? 2 years, 60 million, 2 years, 65, 70, what does it take? And he's going to write the check. And I think it's going to piss off Belichick to no end. And I think whenever Belichick's contract is up, then he's just going to retire. I think it's good. It's like the end of the era is coming. And they're all just going to turn into whiny old white dudes together.
That. I like that better. Mm-hmm. I like that better. Just everything crashes and burns around them while they smile. I like that.
I mean, they're all rich. It's fine for them. They'll be okay.
Yeah. It's true. It's a good point. It's a real good point. All right. Heading on to another name here outside the quarterback room. We are going with Jadeveon Clowney. Where you got Clowney going?
You know, everybody's kind of linked. There's been a lot of people linked to him. The one that I saw that at least interested me the most, I thought, with a team that has a deep history of throwing money at free agents and it not working out well, the New York Giants. So he's been linked to them. That said that he's on the Giants are on his list. He's on their list. So it just seems like it might be kind of going that way. I don't have a lot else to say. I mean, he's a talented guy. Like, the numbers, he doesn't rack up, but he's always a presence, which is a good thing. But I don't know, going to a bad Giants team again, like, is that something he's really going to be happy with? Sure, the paycheck will help, but the Giants seem like they'll throw the bag of money at anybody who's a big name defensive end. So makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got him staying in Seattle. I feel like maybe that's boring, but they've got a little bit of cap space to play with. And they, I think last year you saw, like, when he was healthy, he said the numbers weren't there, but the games when he took over, he took over. Mm-hmm. Like, he can be enough of a nuisance and do enough damage by himself on a game-to-game basis, but you can also just have him a three-game run where he absolutely just tilts everything in favor of the defense. Just an unblockable, unstoppable force. And I feel like they saw that last year. The Seattle Seahawks are not the defense that we've come to know over the past, you know, 7 years or so. And I feel like they know that. And Clowney, there was a huge difference on defense when Clowney was on the field versus off the field. And so I feel like they think, again, if we want to talk about windows, they feel like they've got a window now, but they need enough of a presence on defense to kind of to make that make sense. So I think they see that and they're taking the bad with the good, but just hoping that the good, that those hot streaks hit at the right time. So I think he's in Seattle just because when he's on, he makes any defense better. When he's on, he makes that defense just absolutely terrifying, as opposed to kind of middle of the road at this point. So
let's move on to another Cowboys player that apparently they just don't need to pay their homegrown cornerbacks, Byron Jones. This is baffling to me. Like, honestly, I would have thought he would have been the first guy they would want to pay, maybe outside of Dak. But, they're letting the 27-year-old cornerback walk. Dusty, where do you think they're going?
So I'm going to go – I'm actually going to the Raiders. They had – I don't have the numbers in front of me. Remember, we talked about this when the Packers played the Raiders this past year, and it didn't really get any better. Like, their best corner by Football Outsiders success metric, I think their best corner was 125th in the league or something like that. Like, that's a team that it was better this past year than I know personally I expect them to be. I don't know how about anyone else, but better than I expect them to be this year under Gruden. I feel like they are poised. They're poised to possibly take a leap or crash and burn this year. And I feel like they know that. And this is a great area of need for them, and they've got some money. So I think for them, I think Byron Jones makes a lot of sense, just in a secondary that was just absolutely abysmal last year. This doesn't make them contenders. Like, this specific mood does not make them contenders, but it's a huge area of need for them that makes them better on that side of the ball. So I think it makes a lot of sense to have them there. Where do you have them?
Going to Philadelphia.
Okay. Yeah. You can say the same thing that I said about the Raiders.
Pretty much the best way I could describe Philadelphia's cornerback room, and I feel like their wide receiver room, was like me playing, like a World of Warcraft or any type of like online game where it requires you to use your left and your right thumb to like run and aim a gun. Cause as soon as I get spawned into an area, I die. Like, that is what happened to their entire cornerback team. It's what happened to their wide receiver mm-hmm. group. They just, as soon as they stepped out, they're like, oh, I broke my ankle. Oh, my God. So I think, like, they need a top-tier guy that's proven he can stay healthy. That's kind of what they want. So taking Byron Jones to the Eagles.
All right. All right, so next up we got this is a fun one, Steve. This is Hunter Henry. Tight end, currently with the Chargers. A very talented man. Where you got him?
I think I'm going to go with Indianapolis. They've got a lot of money. It's a little foreboding for where I feel his old quarterback is going to go as well. but I think, they've got the money. They've got the need. And if they do bring in a quarterback that has some experience and some familiarity with him, I think that'd just be a great fit. Pretty simple. I mean, if he could stay healthy, he's really talented. It's just a matter of actually staying on the field. So I know he'd been linked to the Packers at some time. A couple other guys had been as well, but overall, yeah, I think Indiana's got a huge bag of money to throw around, and I think some of that gets sprinkled over to Hunter Henry. What about you?
So we talked about some of these before we started recording, and your response to me on this one was, are you saying that just to piss people off? And I swear that I am not. I swear that I am not. I've got Hunter Henry going to Chicago. And my reasoning is they've said, now, whatever, you take what a GM says with a grain of salt and they say, like, I believe in this man. But they're picking up the fifth-year option on Trubisky, right? And they say they believe in him and he's their starter going in and blah, blah, blah. So whatever. If you want to buy he's actually the starter, that's fine. That's fine. Believe it or don't believe it. I'm going to choose that they actually do believe it, that they want Trubisky to succeed. They traded up for him. They want him to succeed there, and it makes a lot of sense that they want that. So a quarterback's best friend, if he is...
I also want $1 million.
Yeah, that doesn't always work, though. Talk to someone else. I am not your man. Like, I feel like a quarterback's best friend, if it's a guy trying to find his footing, that's a guy that struggles with accuracy a little bit, can be a tight end, a field stretching guy, but also a guy who can, do some damage as kind of a security blanket. I think like a healthy Hunter Henry does that about as well as anyone on the market right now. So I'm going to say, and then even if you don't buy, there's rumors now of Andy Dalton being traded to Chicago. Even if you want to go that route, that also helps Dalton. Dalton had very good times when Eifert was healthy. So I feel like a healthy and good and dynamic tight end, maybe not healthy because Henry's had issues with that, but a dynamic tight end makes a lot of sense, whether they stay with Trubisky or go with Dalton. So I'm going to go Hunter Henry in Chicago.
Everyone, please remember at Dusty Evely.
Yeah, it's fine. At me, I don't care. Yeah, it's got to be wrong.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, come at me, bro. All right, so the next one.
Do you even tweet, bro?
The next one is Derrick Henry. So we got two Henrys in a row. Next one is Derrick Henry, Steve.
I'm going to the team who has a buttload of cap space, the Buffalo Bills. I know they've got Devin Singletary, but again, if you can put him and Derrick Henry together, makes Josh Allen's life even easier. They've got so much money that even though the Titans have a lot of money, they can outbid for him. And I mean, you get that kind of running back in his prime. You can ride him out for another 3-4 years and then toss him to the curb like the NFL likes to do. And I don't know. It seems like a good fit to me. So what do you think?
Yeah, I feel like the Titans had success this past year. They clearly had success this past year. More success than they were hoping for. And I feel like when you have a team that has not had a ton of success, that then finds themselves where they do that and a couple guys up, and especially like key pieces in there, they go ahead and say, hey, we need to keep this together. And then it's usually the wrong idea. It's a bad thing to do. But it seems like it happens, especially with teams like this. So I think he's staying in Tennessee. I think, okay. And I'll talk about this a little more later, but I feel like they liked what they did. They're going to try to run it back this next year, and it's not going to go nearly as well. But with Derrick Henry, especially the playoff run he went on, I think they're going to throw money at Derrick Henry. And I think it's the wrong decision, but I think that's where they're going. So, Steve, you alluded to this one earlier. I guess we kind of know. But Phillip Rivers, we got Phillip Rivers next.
Yeah, I'm taking an Indy. I mean, I think they've got Jacoby Brissett, but I think they paid him pretty much like backup money. It was like 2 years, $15 million or something like that, if I'm remembering right. And then they've got a lot of cap space. They've got a talented core. They've got a good offensive line. Like, wouldn't hurt to give Phillip Rivers, a talented tight end to go there. And he's got T.Y. Hilton. I mean, it still blows my mind whenever he runs. He looks like Woody from Toy Story. It's the only thing I can ever think of whenever I see him move. It's like herky jerky. Like, oh, my God, just cracks me up. But, yeah, I think that move makes a lot of sense for everyone involved. Give them like a 2-year deal and see what they can do, see if they can bring a championship to Indy. I don't think it'll happen, but it gives them a better shot than Jacoby, than Brissett does. So what do you think?
Yeah, I'm the same exact way you are. I think they're good young core, a lot of money. Things didn't go the way they wanted to this past year. And, a big part of that was Luck retiring. I think Brissett, I had hopes for Brissett. I feel like they did as well. And he showed some flashes, but just not quite enough. So I do feel like they've got enough pieces to where they are, a quarterback away from, I don't know if you want to say like Super Bowl contender, but division contenders, and you make it to the playoffs, you know what happens. So I do feel like that they're going to throw money at Rivers. And the funny thing to me on this, a lot of these you can see, if we don't have someone going back to their team, a lot of that comes back to they don't have the money. Or something, like that team maybe doesn't have the money or they're moving in a different direction. Like Los Angeles said goodbye to Phillip Rivers immediately. Like we know for a fact he's not going back because they took out like full page ads and be like, no, so long, sucker, to like this guy. It's this whole situation is just insane to me with him.
Good luck raising your 17 children somewhere else.
Yeah, seriously.
That moves us on to my favorite player of the free agent market is Corey Littleton, inside linebacker from the Rams, 26 years old. Dusty, what you got? I'm crossing my fingers. Come on. Tell me.
I know. Like Littleton, I like Littleton fine. I know a lot of people have him going to Green Bay. I know that's something I've seen. The going rate I've seen of him is somewhere around 12 to 13 million, which I know that we want to get better at the inside linebacker position than say, I don't know, Blake Martinez, but at what cost? At what cost, I ask you, Steve? And what I've talked about it before, I don't value that position the way that I know for a fact that you do. And so I feel like there are cheaper options or something. So I do not have going to Green Bay. I have him. I had a really hard time with this one. I actually have him going to the Chargers. I think Denzel Perryman's leaving after next year. They don't really have good inside linebacking core there. And I don't know. I just feel like this is – and Perryman had been injured as well. So I feel like this is a situation where they're going to look to plug a hole for a guy they assume is leaving, and they're going to go a year too early rather than the year they actually need him. So I have a feeling, I think it's either there or staying with the Rams. Either way, I think he's in LA. But I, right now, yeah, I've got him going to the Chargers. What do you got?
Please, everyone listening, remember at Steve Perhatch, because I have the Packers signing Corey Littleton. I think that solves a huge issue that they've had in the run game. It would solve a huge issue they have covering tight ends. Like, it's just, it's been such a sore spot. And obviously, if you've been listening to this for the last 2 years, you know that I've been beating the drum for an inside linebacker that can do everything. And honestly, this is it. Like, he's the best one on the market. He's still young. You can still draft one if one of them fall, one of the talented one falls to you. Like, if there is a Murray or if there's a Queen that falls to you, like, you can still get those guys and then pair them with them, give them a little time to grow. But I don't know. I think that this is the one time that Goody's going to throw some money at an inside linebacker, because he realizes that that's probably one of the biggest hole. That is the biggest hole on the defense at the minute. So I think that he goes to Green Bay, and I think I will be – I don't know what my celebration is going to be. I don't know if I would get kicked out of my subdivision if I did, like, a naked lap around the – it probably would.
I don't know if you would, but you should.
I should. I'll come up with something good. It won't be eating most stuff Oreos, but I'll come – if the Packers do sign Corey Littleton, I'll come up with a good celebration video.
Good. Good, Steve. We demand it of you. I talked about this guy already, or kind of. I alluded to him, but I will talk to him about him in a minute. Steve, Ryan Tannehill, he went Tennessee last year at a one-year prove-it deal, and he kind of proved it, I guess, depending who you talk to. Where do you have him at?
I think Tennessee is going to get royally screwed, and they're going to sign Ryan Tannehill and then get left holding the imaginary bag when Derrick Henry leaves. So I think he's going to stay in Tennessee, but I think he's not going to do well, because, I mean, he thrived off of the fact that he had Derrick Henry. They did so unbelievably well off of play action, and that was their entire offense. Their passing game was predicated on that completely. So I think he stays in Tennessee. What about you?
Yeah, I think he stays in Tennessee. I think they pay Tannehill and Derrick Henry, and I think it's a colossally bad move. I was bigger on Tannehill, I think, than a lot of people during his career in Miami, especially during the latter parts of his career in Miami. So I was kind of like, it's a good sign by Tennessee, which at the time it was. Now, if they decide to pay him $25 million and then they give Derrick Henry a whole bunch of money, that's a real bad move. But yeah, I think both guys stay in Tennessee, to the detriment of that team overall.
Let's move on to another guy who has been linked to the Packers, or maybe it's Packers fans want him to be there, but A.J. Green, 31-year-old wide receiver for the Bengals, basically didn't play the whole year due to an injury, but he is a free agent. What do you think?
I love A.J. Green. I've watched, you know, I live in SEC country, and then the closest NFL team to me is Cincinnati. So I have watched A.J. Green's entire career from college to NFL, and I love him. I love the way he goes about his business. I love his skill set. I know there's rumors last year. I don't know that I've seen too much on free agency, but there's rumors last year about him coming to Green Bay, and I was all about a possible trade if he was going to be healthy, which he clearly was not.
Yeah.
I would love to see him in Green Bay, but I don't think it's happening. Like, this feels like a guy. It sounds like Cincinnati wants to keep him in Cincinnati, and I don't know that he really feels like leaving there. So I think this is a guy that's, for better or worse, and I'm going to say worse just because that team is not really going anywhere. I think he's staying in Cincinnati. I think he essentially retires in Cincinnati, which makes me sad to say. Yeah.
That sucks. But yeah, completely agree with you. My best guess is he gets tagged, most likely gets a franchise tag for 1 year, and then see if he can stay healthy. Like, after somebody, a 31-year-old wide receiver who is hurt for the entire year, why would you want to give him a multi-year contract? Doesn't make much sense to me, but you want to keep him around for Joe Burrow. Kind of help him, ease him in with the number and make sure he has a number one wide receiver. All makes sense to me that you would bring him back for sure for a year, and then, I mean, maybe it's a 2 year deal that they can get out of after 1 year, that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
but yeah, I don't see him going anywhere.
It's one of my favorite names, Steve. One of my favorite names on this list.
Woo!
Jameis Winston. Famous Jameis. Steve, what do you got?
I see him throwing 30 to 35 interceptions for the LA Chargers.
Nice.
The LA Chargers. Yeah, I think, Dusty, we talked a little bit before the show, and you said you could just, anytime you would watch a press conference for
Arians.
He would just, you could just legit see the, like, the hate coming out of his eyes. I mean, he's got a quarterback who threw 30 interceptions. Like, he just had to just be pissed. And I think he lets him go. LA gives him some money. Hopefully the LASIK cures all the issues that he had. but yeah, I think he's going to go to LA. And then I think Teddy Bridgewater goes to Tampa Bay.
You know, the thing I saw with the LASIK, and I didn't even think about this because I kind of forgot about it, was when Bryce Harper was kind of making his way through the minors, he was in single or double. He was in low A ball, and he was hitting under 300. And then he realized he needed contacts, and he got contacts, and he started hitting 480, like, out the gate, where he's like, oh, he can see. Listen, Jameis's problem is not his vision. It's never been his vision. It's not that he just can't see the guys. It's that he makes dumb decisions and he feels like he's better than he is. So there's a couple different places I could see him going. The one of them that I just thought about, Steve, and I've not looked to see if it makes sense from a money perspective, would actually be Chicago. If they're looking at possible last year of Trubisky, God, and they want to go forward.
I love it.
We're going from Cutler to Trubisky to Winston. Wouldn't that just be amazing?
I would consider buying a Winston Bears jersey to wear to Packers games just because it would be.
Oh, I missed someone. I'm sorry, Steve. I forgot Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon is in there. Anyway, I don't know if it makes sense for him to go there. It probably does not. It was a fun thought experiment I had while you were talking. I'm going to go New England. You know, I've got Brady going elsewhere. They don't really have a good situation in place. And I feel like that Belichick is a guy who would say, I can take anyone and make them into, you know, at least a halfway decent quarterback, enough to run what I want them to run. You know, Jameis is amazingly talented, very talented guy, just also very dumb. So I feel like Belichick may feel like, I can limit his mistakes. He's got upside. And honestly, with the quarterback market, we were going through this. There's not a ton of teams that I feel like need quarterbacks right now enough to pay for them. So you may be able to get him at a lower price. So Belichick may see this as a buy low-ish option. So I would not be shocked to see him in New England.
Chicago has $24 million in cap space.
Oh, no. Okay, they're not going to get... God, that kills my dreams, Steve.
Yeah, it does. Well, I mean, they've released a few players, and they might be able to do a couple other things. But, I mean, bring him in to compete with Mitchell Trubisky. Holy God, could you imagine the... I would figure out ways to listen to Chicago sports radio just for that. I mean, it would just be awesome.
It would be great. It'd be real, real great.
Okay, so we're going to jump to another running back local to the University of Wisconsin from the Chargers, Melvin Gordon, 26 years old, free agent. What do you think?
So you kind of went this route earlier with, I don't remember who. I'm going Bills because I think it was that Jones? No, it wasn't Jones. I had Jones there. They have a boatload of money, as we talked about earlier. Their running back room currently, you know, Frank Gore, but Frank Gore is done with his contract. Who knows if they bring him back? They've got Devin Singletary, who showed well, I think, in limited time, limited snaps last year. I really like Devin Singletary. And TJ Yeldon are their other two that they have. So, again, who knows what happens with anything else. But I feel like Sean McDermott is like a old school hard-ass, like, we got to run the ball, grr, head coach. And I feel like that's Melvin Gordon. I don't feel like anyone's going to, like, pay out the bank for Melvin Gordon, but the Bills are going to pay more than they probably should because they can afford to, and they want to run the ball, and he gives them that option. So I'm going Buffalo. What about you?
I think I'm going to go with the Houston Texans. They've got roughly $60 million in cap space, and I'm trying to look up the depth chart, but HoustonTexans.com is not being very helpful for me. But I know they've got Lamar Miller. Carlos Hyde did well, Duke Johnson, but I'm sorry. I feel like Melvin Gordon's better than all those guys.
Well, and actually, so I've got to pull it up right now. It looks like from what I'm seeing, and I got to look at this a little bit more, Lamar Miller and Carlos Hyde may be done.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think they are not under contract any longer, or at least they're, you know, restricted free agents or something.
So yeah, basically he's an upgrade for them with Bill O'Brien being their head coach and GM now, and he has cap space. Like, I feel like he just wants to throw around that cash like crazy. So I can see that happening, him throwing like a $9-10 million deal at per year for Melvin Gordon, like 4 years, $40 million, something crazy like that. And yeah, so I think Melvin Gordon to the Texans.
Yeah, by the way, both Miller and Hyde, both are unrestricted free agents.
Okay.
So that makes so a lot of sense. Yeah. All right, last one. I'm actually going to have you go first. Well, you are going first. I'm introducing you, Steve. this is our last one we're going for. Breshad Perriman, wide receiver for the Bucs, 26 years old. Steve, what you got?
Actually, I have him going to the Packers. I think he is pretty much the answer to what the Packers need. I know a lot of people say Robbie Anderson's the way to go, but if you look at Spotrac for his projected contract, it's pretty insane to me. They're talking like $13 million for Robbie Anderson, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I know that was kind of the going rate. That's what they kind of talked about earlier for him as well. So that's stays consistent with what I've been hearing as well, which is just that's too much. It's too much.
If you kind of look at it, Breshad Perriman, he's kind of gone through a couple teams. He hasn't done everything very well, but what happened with him was he stepped in the last couple of games when I believe it was Mike Evans got injured, and for the Buccaneers, and just went off. Like, he is exactly what the Packers need. He has that straight line speed. He can line up on the outside. He can take the top off of a defense. He can be that guy that the Packers need as a number two opposite Devontae. And then you can use Alan Lazard. You can use MVS. You can use those guys and a draft pick as well. And all of a sudden you've got he would be a really good upgrade at number two. And then, I mean, money-wise, I think at Spotrac we had also seen it was roughly around $7 million. Mm-hmm. That feels much more palatable for the Packers. They can work with that. So I think that's where I'm going to go for that.
Yeah, I didn't really have a good spot for him, but I love him going to the Packers, so let's go to the Packers. Robbie Anderson, I know, was a guy who also came up with trade deadline last year as far as a possible Packers target, but the asking price was too high. I think the Packers actually did look in on him. They said the price was too high. So maybe free agency. And then, like you said, it's like $13 million. Like, absolutely not. But Perriman, who ran I looked up a 4.25 40 at the combine when he was coming out. That's absolutely love. Absolutely love.
Let me just put this out there. So he stepped in, I believe it was the last three games as a full-time starter. First game was against Detroit. He had 5 receptions on 6 targets for 113 yards and 3 touchdowns. Next game, he had 7 receptions on 12 targets for 102 yards. And then the following game, he had 5 receptions on 8 targets for 134 yards and a touchdown. So given the opportunity, he can put up numbers. And I mean, he had Jameis Winston throwing the ball. If Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball, I feel even better.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
So yeah, this was fun. Like, it kind of gives you a good lead up right up into free agency. I'm sure somebody will write all this stuff down and then make fun of us later. But I had a good time. I liked it. I like talking free agency stuff. So got to mix in a little Packers news too. Hopefully by the time we are back next week, Sarah, I hope she's back from the bachelor party that she was at. I don't know. Oh, that sounded bad. Not bachelor that party.
Didn't sound great.
The Bachelor TV show party that you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Hopefully she'll be back and we can have some Packers rumors, rumblings from all the tampering window being open at that point. So we should do that. But before we go, Dusty, you got any articles or anything coming out?
Yeah, I've got today. So when you listen to this, it'll be Wednesday. I'm continuing my series of revisiting the 2019 season and looking at a couple big plays from each game or a play or two, I guess. So this week I'm actually up to week 4, which is the Eagles game, first loss of the season. It's fun going back through these. I mentioned this last week, and I think it's doubly so in losses, just because you get these. You forget the things that happen along the way. I mean, I think of the Eagles game. I think of they got killed against the run, and then there's that the interception at the end where MVS was like bear hugged at the goal line. Those are things I remember from that game. What I don't remember is some of the other stuff that happened. So it's fun revisiting that. So this week, it's directly before the first half. The Packers were down. 14. No, they're down 8. I'm sorry. They're down like 21-13 with about a minute remaining on their own 30. And that's Rodgers had it was Rodgers to Allison on basically two consecutive plays. One that was a 30-yarder on 3rd and 6 where he went up high. You probably remember the catch. Mm-hmm. And then there was the very next play, it was a spike. They were out of timeouts. And the very next play was a touchdown. So I got to dive into that a little bit, which is fun, again, because I don't really remember that when I'm thinking about the Eagles game. So kind of revisiting that game specifically because it is the first loss and looking at some of the stuff, it's fun. So that'll be up over on Cheesehead TV around noonish Central today.
Very cool. I've got two things. The first one, I am taking any and all recommendations from people because I had to start taking a new medication for my eyes that apparently takes anything that is a carbonated beverage and makes it taste metallic. So sodas, beers, all that kind of good stuff that I would drink all the time, no longer happening. Apparently the only exception for beer is Mexican beer. Apparently that is not affected. I don't know why, but that's the nurse's brother takes the same medication. He's like, yeah, he drinks Coronas all the time. Not a problem. He says it tastes fine. I'm like, okay. So I've at least got one beer, but
Negro Modelo. Exactly. Modelo is a superior beer. You got a couple.
Oh, there's a couple in there. I always like Pacificos. Like, those are my go-to. Mm-hmm. I don't like Corona. I think it's trash, actually.
It's garbage beer. Yeah,
pretty much. But I'm taking suggestions because I'm always looking for now non-carbonated beverages that I can drink, you know, at work. I always appreciate everybody telling me to drink bourbon and scotch and wine and everything. I get that. I have the alcohol covered. Believe me. But yeah, I would be more than happy if you have any, suggestions down that way. Also, number two, I don't know if Dusty has a couple of minutes where you'd like to make fun of the Rams logo at all.
I do. It's awful.
But I just wanted to get your thoughts because obviously the Packers are not competent enough in your mind to come up with and I've never said I wanted them to have a new logo. I've never said that. So your tweet just enraged me, and then you didn't reply, which enraged me more.
No, I thought it was better if I left it. Yeah, but no, it's a remarkably bad. It's so bad. It's so bad that I couldn't even start to try to think of anything halfway like funny to say about it. People were coming up with some very, very good options. One of my favorite ones was it looks like Clay Matthews in the middle of a hair flip. I thoroughly enjoyed that one. It's like an arena logo that they put an intern on. Like it's or like a mall, like the logo for like a mall or something. It's so bad. I don't have anything to say about it other than it's so comically bad. I thought the leak was I thought it was a joke.
You thought it was leaked on purpose to be funny?
Yeah, or it was like not an NFL team, like it was an Arena League team or something. Like I did not think it was real. It was
just, I think one of my favorites I saw was that it looks like Trump's hair.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good one. But yeah, it was just one of those things that my first thought was like, was this for the XFL and they just switched them or had to be something, but no, at some point, I promise everybody listening, I will do the episode about the Packers uniforms. I don't think they should ever touch the G. The G stays forever. And most of their normal uniforms stay forever as well. But their alternates are always trash, and I'm diving a little too deep. But it'll be a good one, I promise. It'll be a good one. One of these weeks, I'll give Dusty and Sarah the week off, and we'll have a little bit of fun, and then my Twitter mentions will go through the roof. So... yeah. But it's been fun. Dusty, we'll catch you next week. Hopefully Sarah should be back. Make sure as always to follow Dusty at Dusty Evely, at Steve Perhatch, and for Sarah at Sarah Kelher 4, and as always at Packaday Podcast. So keep up the interactions. We love chatting with you guys, and we'll catch you next week. As always, go Pack, go.